welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 232. I'm Josias, at For the Villain on Twitter, at Comic _ Syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? I'm back one more week. Let's hit it like we normally do. 100 episodes ago, Adam and I entitled episode 132, hashtag Crazy Eyes. So at Mem the Bean ran at For the Villain, roll a crazy amount of comic talk, comic news, and comic reviews. But first hit, hashtag video game talk. So, hashtag Fire Emblem Fates will teach you harsh lessons about life and death. So, I believe it was a 3DS game, or it was an RPG, and there was a setting on that one where you can choose if your characters die, they die forever. Like, if you start a new game or a new quest in order to get them back. So, kind of ballsy. I like games like that, or it's rare you play a game like that. So, nice touch. We hit with the fuck news. Woman roughly drags swan out of the water by wing for selfie. So, RG and Victoria, that's for you guys. No, I'm not that fucking bad, guys. But, how do you guys feel about that? She's like, you, swan, get over. And poor fucking swan just, I don't want to be here. So, yeah, we hit that. We hit Florida mom recovering after she was shot by toddler while driving. Again, one of those Darwin rules where it's like, okay, bitch, first of all, if you're dumb enough to have a gun in your car where your child can get it. Backseat, the child picks it up, granted a toddler. Thank God the toddler, nothing happened to their toddler, he just shot his mom. So, I always feel, again, we're better off without these fucking people. And we hit mom abandoned son at hospital because he was rude. What kind of parents are you guys? We hit comic talk, comic news. We hit Where's Waldo, Predator, Ghostbusters, Lara Croft, Kingsman, Beetlejuice, Batman v Superman, Wonder Woman, hashtag Captain America. All these are hashtag Spider-Man, Daredevil movie, and show talk. We hit figure talk, hashtag Voltron. So RG and I recorded one Be Voltron of something we do on the side. We hit San Diego Comic Con, HQ, Walking Dead, Outcast, and Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill in The Killing Joke, with news that they were both going to be recreating the voice acting for those again. We comic reviews Haunted Mansion number 1, Vision number 5. Still love the fuck out of Vision. We hit Dark and Bloody number 2, Transformers More Than Meets the Eye number 4 and number 5, Transformers number 50, and Doctor Strange number 6. That's what we hit 100 episodes ago, guys. 100 episodes constitutes to 2 years. If any of these topics ever sound good to you, jump on thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com. Jump onto thecomicsyndicate.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere where you guys can find podcasts. And just jump on board. Go through our category and catalog, I guess. All right, this week I'm going to go through some bullet points like I normally do. First thing I'm going to hit is Transformers the movie from 1986. I got to watch it through Fathom Events. And I went with my friend. And I haven't seen it since 1986. I was 6 years old. It was a double feature in San Antonio. I was with my brothers, Jonathan and Moses. And it was a double feature again with King Kong Lives or King Kong Returns. I was more jazzed about Transformers. So to see it again, live screen theater again, was just fucking dope, dude. Next one's going to be going to see Rise Against this weekend, guys. I had some kind of downtime this weekend. I got to see Rise Against on Sunday. I requested off from the second job and from the office on Monday. The concert was on Sunday, but it was just dope to get out there. I love the fuck out of Rise Against. This is my third time seeing them. This is my second time seeing them with RG. RG was there as well. We went to the Yard House, and this is the crew that went. It was myself, RG, RG's wife. It was our coworker Roslyn, our coworker Rosanna, myself, and then one of our other coworkers from another department happened to go too. Her and her brother went, and Christina and her brother, Jose Rafael, Rodrigo, fuck. Forgot homeboy's name, but cool cat. There, everyone's cool, and we had just went out to rock out and have a good time. It was a blast. I love the fuck out of it. So we did a happy hour before, and then went out there and just had a fucking blast. I got seats because I love my coworkers, but it's like, okay, which one of you guys could actually hang in standing ovation or mosh pit all night long? And necessarily, you know, you don't necessarily have to, be in a mosh pit. You can stand on the outskirts and not get thrashed around. And fuck me, I want to get thrashed the fuck around. And I want to thrash people the fuck around. So it was dope. We had seats and everything was fucking cool. We were having a blast. We were rocking out. AFI opened up for them and they were fucking dope. I forgot how great their catalog is. And I'm like, holy shit, I forgot they sang this song. So dope time. Good concert. So still at the concert, Rosanna finally asked me, she goes, Josias, can you get us into the mosh pit? Granted, separate pricing and seating, because it's a separate pricing. It's a different section. They were going to wristbands away for those particular or that particular section. So we don't need any while we have our tickets and, you know, I have printables. We as a crew before we had gone to use the restroom and after AFI was really cool because we all use the restroom again as a group and pick up more beer as we needed to. And RG and I was just having a conversation with some dude, like you do at a concert. And he's like, yeah, I'm watching it on the side of where the entrance is for the mosh pit. He's like, it's a great fucking setup. It's a great view. And like, they haven't kicked me out. I'm just fucking standing there, but it's better viewing than the seats I had. I'm like, all right, cool. Didn't think anything of it. So Rosanna asks, can you get us into the mosh pit? I'm like, what kind of fucking smooth motherfucker badass do you think I am? Guess what kind of smooth motherfucker badass I am. So we go. I'm like, you know what, Rosanna, let's fucking try something. Let me check something out. Let's scope this out. Like, I need my eyes on this. So we go over. She walks with me. Apparently, RG, his wife, dope chick, Siobhan, and Roslyn decide, like, okay, they're going to go with us. Like, what the fuck does Josias think he's up to? So Christine and her brother apparently had tickets for the mosh pit, which was dope. Like, they were there. I end up texting Christine, like, hey, dude, can you meet us out over here in this section or your entrance or whatever? She's like, yeah, sure, no problem. So my game plan was, fuck it, let's try some – well, I tried fucking buttering up fucking homeboy security. First of all, he's like, I would love to let you in, but I can't. He's like, the best I can do, maybe later towards the end of the set, maybe I can let you in. But he's like, there's no way I can do it. I'm like, all right, cool, no problem, dude. I totally feel you. You're doing your job. Christine finally comes out. She's like, what's up? She's like, I'm like, how are you enjoying it? She's like, cool. She's one of those people that enjoys the pit from like the outskirts, which is still a great experience. So I'm like, do you mind if she's like, you want to get in, don't you? I'm like, yes, please. So I'm like, are you able to slide off your wristband? She is able to fucking slide it off fucking fine, cake. She's like, are you able to put on your wrist? I'm like, ooh, fucking put my fucking ET fingers together. And, didn't quite get on. And then Rosanna's like, no, I got this. She had some lotion or hand sanitizer in her fucking purse. So they lube up my fucking wrist and we don't even get it on my wrist, guys. Like it's on my palm, but you can easily see it's not on my fucking wrist. So after I saw security homeboy, same homeboy, probably 20 minutes later, maybe 25 minutes later, I grabbed another beer and, I attempted this. So I go over and I kind of show him my wristband real quick. Like, look, I raised my hand kind of like an odd looking way. So I was able to get into the mosh pit, fucking fun, rock out a bit. And then I'm like, ooh, fuck me. I'm enjoying the music. Like, let me hook them up let me see if I can do anything. So called Rosanna on the side, pull her over. I'm like, hey, give me a hug, dude. Good to see you. Long time no see. Here you go. So handed her the wristband. We played the system pretty good. We all got in, minus RG. His wrists were and hands were too fat or big. I don't know. One or the other or both. But yeah, everyone, the whole crowd, minus RG, was in there now. And we were just rocking out and in the mosh pit. And I told myself a while back, I'm not going to go into a mosh pit again. This crowd was way better than the last mosh pit I was in with a bunch of skinheads that just wanted to fuck people up. This was a good fucking mosh pit crowd. And I had a fucking blast. Again, just a good fucking time. Now, if you guys think I'm trying to take the credit for getting us in, no, it was straight up legit Christine from the office that hooked us up that was able to get us in that deep or straight up in the fucking the pit area. So Christine, much fucking love, dude. I totally appreciate it. And it was just fucking dope. And I had a great time with some great people, my coworkers. They are my fucking family, dude. Last thing note on the concert night is getting hit on that night galore left and right. But by nothing but studs. So many gay dudes just jocking me hard, like eye fucking me, was nuts. And like I kind of felt flattered. I don't feel bad, and I'm not standoffish about it. I'm like, ooh, that guy wants me. Ooh, that guy wants me. There's some gay guy that's hanging out, eating something, or smoking. Or Siobhan, myself, or Sana. And this happened a few times to me. We put out the cigarettes, and this gay guy is nice. He's like, I'll take care of those for you. I'm like, you really don't have to, dude. Like, the trash can's right there. He's like, no, I got you. Don't worry. And I'm like, well, what's your name? Got his name. I'm like, dude, Dope Rising Ant shirt. He's like, I'm like, where'd you get it? He points me to the right direction. He's like, over there. All right, cool. I need to check out that fucking spot. I'm like, it's a baseball fucking rock band shirt. I'm like, I like that. He's like, cool. So do I. Norm like those cuts. Cool. Like, oh, by the way, this is my friend Rosanna. She's single. He's like, I don't care. So that happened. A lot. And it was fun. So that's last about Rise Against. I loved the fuck out of it. Next one is going to be talk about the third podcast. I know it sounds crazy. And no, I don't have the time. Yes, it is a thing, guys. So I did a bunch of interviews, two interviews in particular for this. Actually, this past Saturday, I conducted two interviews for the mixed sessions is what it is. I was looking for Odd Man Out, and it's probably just going to be as simple as the mixed sessions. So to keep people thrown off, it's a strictly interview based podcast. Is it something I'm going to follow? I kind of think if I'm able to pull these two off, I am able to pull it off. So the two people I met were, first off was Rachel Madsen, dope girl. She's a tailor. You can find her at Madsen Creations on Instagram. You can find her at Cobb's Carnival of Dreams on Instagram as well. And on Facebook, you can find them on Cornelius Cobb's Carnival of Dreams. They have a GoFundMe account where you can find, again, go to, I'm sorry, Madsen Creations again. And she's just a dope fucking chick. Down to earth, fun, funny, gave us a great compliment, a bunch of great compliments on the Comic Syndicate and Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. And we also interviewed, his name is David Cromer. You can find him on Instagram and on Facebook. Explicit Sarcasm is his name. They were both down to earth. Very cool to chat with them. It's the third podcast, guys. That's what it is. The Mixed Sessions. And the way I'm going to title those is kind of like a spinoff of Deep Dives anyways. Like episode 233.1, or I guess 232.1 would be it. And then when I drop Deep Dives, it's going to be 232.2. That's the numbering. I'm going to go into that right now. But again, you guys are going to hear the first interview on Friday. So I dropped a Deep Dives in Rabbit Holes yesterday on Monday. I'm recording Tuesday. This is going to drop on Wednesday morning. And I'm going to drop the Mixed Sessions on Friday. So this is going to be the first time that you guys are going to get fresh content from me, Josias, on three different, I don't want to say formats, three totally completely different podcasts that don't necessarily have much to do with each other, minus the host, but you're going to get three different podcast content. I'm very curious how you guys like or hate it, like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And they're all, again, so different and so unique that I was very, upset or bummed out, I guess, that each podcast deserves a full week of listens and downloads and people to enjoy and suck in. I know a lot of people sometimes sit on podcasts. If that's a thing, sometimes I do as well. I bank up a few podcasts. Mike Rowe's one of them, but I just bank them up sometimes. So how do you guys listen to podcasts? And how do you like this format? You get me three times a week. I get to give you oral pleasure, not oral pleasure. Don't get crazy. And, well, some of you guys can. But oral pleasure and just like three – you're going to have me in you three times a week. And is that too much Josias for you? Can you handle that much Josias? Do you want more Josias in you? Like, let me know. And let me know how terrible it is. But also give love to the people associated with each one. If you dig on Deep Dives, give RG some love. If you dig on the Mixed Sessions, definitely give those people some love. They deserve it. They have great stories. They have an interesting story, very compelling stories, and just they have this passion. And this passion project, that's what attached me to it, and I was drawn to it. And it happened to work out perfectly. I'm like, I have the time off. I'm like, had to hit up Rachel and ask her like, hey, are you guys down? Get as many people as you can. Let's roll it. Let me see if I can pull this stunt off. And it's not just a stunt, guys. Like, this is the third podcast you're going to have. And I don't know if it's a good idea, but the fact that I can get them out talking about their, again, passion project is fucking dope. And I'm glad to do my share if I can. Lastly, I know I'm going long, guys. I have to talk about deep dives and rabbit holes one last time. Soft launch dates is going to happen soon. RG is already helping me out, giving that up off the ground and getting it started, and we're going to get that bank going. And lastly, thanks to everyone, and I mean everyone, that has jumped on and given credit already or love to that podcast already. We get it a lot, and it's really overwhelming. And you guys are fucking dope that you guys are digging on it as much as you guys are. Like, the feedback is beautiful and dope, and I wish I could share, and I wish on there we could give love to you guys, but it's not time-sensitive stuff, so we don't need to. Off of that, I keep getting asked, though, how or where I'm finding the time to pull all these stunts off. Like, and then adding the third podcast. I don't know. It's just a weird passion I have that I gotta keep busy and keep creative. That's a weird bug or kick for me, but I love the fuck out of it. So just thank you all again. We would love to take time to address it on deep dives and rabbit holes again, but because of the fact that we are so far ahead, we're recording a month. We have recordings up to a month already by now, and it's just dope. And it's weird because RG and I live in a weird world now where it's like, I don't remember what we spoke about a month ago, but we're keeping it fresh to the point where I'm listening to RG because, and deep dives, because I'm like, I don't want to listen to me, but I want to listen to my boy have fun. And that's when I would listen to Adam, when he really made me laugh. I'm like, I want to listen to my boy. He was really funny, that one. And yeah, so I'm doing the same thing with this one. But again, thank you guys. I do see the love. You guys are dope, rad. I totally appreciate it. All right, this is the month of October. And speaking of that, going back to the Cobb's Carnival of Dreams, Rachel again and David Cromer, you guys are fucking dope. And they have a carnival. It's a Halloween twisted carnival fest. And to get that would be dope. So I'm going to be dropping that one again Friday. And every October for old listeners, I would normally do Scary Spooky Talk. I don't know how to do it. I'm going to do a rendition of that right now. The creepiest urban legend from every state. First one's going to be Alabama. Hell's Gate Bridge. The bridge is located in Oxford, Alabama. The general accepted story of Hell's Gate Bridge starts in the 1950s. A young couple driving over the bridge somehow drove their car off the bridge one night and both drowned. There are two legends associated with Hell's Gate Bridge. One, that if you drive your car out to the middle of the bridge and turn off the lights, the couple will magically appear in your car and leave a wet spot on the seat. I've had a few dates like that. The other, which is how the bridge got its name, is the belief that if you drive over the bridge and look over your shoulder halfway through, the scenery behind you turns into a portal to hell engulfed in flames. Potentially to curb ghost hunters and bored teenagers, Hell's Gate Bridge is closed to cars and in such disrepair that walking across is strongly discouraged. Would you guys be balls to try that? I think I would. Next one's going to be Alaska, the Kushtaka of the Alaskan Triangle. Alaska's coastline is over 33 miles long. Everyone knows the story of the Bermuda Triangle, but you might not know about the Alaskan Triangle. On average, 5 of every 1,000 people go missing in Alaska, according to the LA Times. So kind of like abductions, I don't know. It could be a side story. So even, actually that might be a side story. Even though there's nothing supernatural going on, it's easy to get lost in the Alaskan wilderness. The Tlingit tribe that lives in Juneau has their own explanation for the high amount of missing people. Evil spirits called the Kushtaka. The Kushtaka are shapeshifters, half human, half otter, never heard of that, that lure women and children to water with fake cries in order to steal their human spirit and drown them. Interesting. Next one's going to be in Arizona, the ghost of the Slaughterhouse Canyon. It's also called the less frightening Luana's Canyon, okay? The story of the Slaughterhouse Canyon takes place during the Gold Rush. During the 1800s, there was a family who lived down in the canyon. They were very poor, so the father would venture out into the canyon for food for his family. As you might have guessed, one day the father did not return, so his family slowly starved and descended into madness. The mother, unable to bear or listen to her children's cries anymore, put on her wedding dress, murdered her children, and then threw them into the nearby river. The next day, she's come to starvation herself. The legend states that if you go down to Slaughterhouse Canyon at night, even now, you will hear the loud, anguished cries of the mother who lost her mind. Next one's going to be Arkansas, the Boggy Creek Monster. It's also known as the Folk Monster. The Boggy Creek Monster folk is Arkansas's version of Sasquatch. He's commonly accepted to be around 7 or 8 feet tall and covered in hair. Legend says that he roams the creeks of the rural Arkansas. He was first spotted in 1834 when people reported seeing a quote-unquote wild man. People still claim to spot the Boggy Creek Monster today, and he has been the subject of 5 feature-length films, including 1972's The Legend of Boggy Creek. Interesting. Last one for today is going to be California, the Char Man. The Char Man calls Ojai, California, his home. Ojai, I don't know. Not OJ like Simpson. The Char Man's origin story is gruesome. A father and son were both caught in a house fire and were horribly burnt in 1948. After the fire, the son became so mentally unstable that he flayed and hung his father. Wow. When the police found his son, he was so unrecognizably burnt, they didn't realize he was alive. So he ran away before they were able to arrest him for the murder of his father. Ever since then, the Char Man is still spotted wandering the woods surrounding OJ Simpson, occasionally approaching tents of innocent campers or pretending to be a hitchhiker and then attempting to attack them. Alright guys, that's my cheap version of Spooky Story Talk. For you guys, I'm going to try something different. I'm going to try to find where each of you listeners are. I know you're all across the states for the most part, and this is more state-based. I'm going to pull each of your states next week. Give us something to talk about for the month of October. The spooky story talk. Damn it. Okay, that sucked. All right, guys. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and are having a good time on a Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, I'm back with some comic talk. What's up? Okay, first one is going to be, I'm going to try to run through these as quick as I can. I just wanted to give as much love as I could and just let you guys know what's going on in my life and everything, projects and everything. Anyways, The Nun becomes the highest grossing Conjuring universe film. The Nun has officially become the highest grossing film in the Conjuring. How do you guys feel about it? I still haven't seen it. I know Eric has mentioned it's good in the franchise, and people have said it sucks. I haven't seen it. I've only seen one of the movies, so continuing on, Star Wars. Kathleen Kennedy's Lucasfilm contract extended through 2021. Kathleen Kennedy will continue to oversee Lucasfilm through at least 2021. So she's pretty much the one in charge of all the Star Wars movies that are coming out right now. Neil Gaiman signs development deal with Amazon Studios. Acclaimed author, creator of The Sandman. Author Neil Gaiman has signed a television development deal with Amazon, which will stream his adaptation of Good Omens. I love this fucking book. And it's actually a novel, not it's a book. It's not a graphic novel. It's not a comic book. It's not a trade paperback. It's an actual book. It's a good one. It's hilarious. It's fucking dope. Next one's going to be Daredevil Season 3 promises to break Matt Murdock down completely. I love what they've been doing with Matt Murdock and just Daredevil anyways on Netflix, so sign me up for all of that. Dark Phoenix photos shine a spotlight on the X-Men movie's villains. So the trailer did drop last Tuesday, I believe, so about a good week ago. Next one is going to be Fox updates Dark Phoenix Alita Gambit release dates. So interesting how the trailer literally dropped last Tuesday, and 2 days later, like, yeah, we're going to push this film, which is an odd choice, but just the slate of movies now for Fox is just weird and interesting, and yeah, just curious to see why the exact reasoning for that is. Next one is going to be The New Mutants may yet get an R rating. So this is also still Fox, and this is an offshoot of the X-Men. Like, it's a younger team, but they're a grittier team of younger superheroes than the X-Men you're used to seeing. I'm just down for that. Venom reportedly, and this drops this week, Venom reportedly features two post-credit scenes. So stick around. I know it's normally a Marvel Studios, Marvel movie, cinematic universe thing, but stick around for that. Next one's going to be DC. Talk is going to be Rumor, Birds of Prey, Eyes, Ewan McGregor, for a villain role. I didn't know he'd be interested in doing a DC movie. Like, who the fuck really would? Like, pay me bank, and maybe that'll do it for me, too. Next one is going to be comics. Sean Murphy's Batman, Curse of the White Knight, introduces Azrael. So, Sean Gordon Murphy is the one who's doing, or was doing the White Knight. It wrapped up a few months ago. Is going to do a follow-up to that story, and it's going to be Sean Murphy's Curse of the White Knight. It's a great fucking title. He's writing and drawing it. It's so beautiful. It's so fucked up, but it makes sense. What if Batman was the villain, and what if Joker got rehabilitated, sort of deal? Pretty much all I got on that. I'm going to go through my review kind of quick. And yeah. All right, guys. Sorry about that for lingering on that one. I get to hit a few things before I go. This week, again, the weekend was so busy. Not rough necessarily. Just a busy weekend. Like, I got these interviews and I got to chill with Rachel for a bit. She made lunches, so thanks for the coffee. More than anything, the sandwiches were a great bonus. And then hanging out with her, getting to know her, and picking her brain a bit more. And until David got there, and then picking his brain and chatting with them. Just really cool people, really cool cats. That was the main focus of my weekend. I honestly haven't had time to read. So I'm going to go old school this week. I'm going to review a title. And as a kid, I wasn't able to review anything, really. Minus talking to stuff with friends. So this one is going to be a comic from 1996. This is going to be X-Men number 50. So think of it this way. I'm a kid of the 90s. That's when Jim Lee looked for X-Men number 1. And Jim Lee, and that was the year, 1994. So this is from that number 1 up until number 50 a few years later. This one finally dropped. And by this point, the writer is Scott Lobdell. And the artist is going to be Andy Kubert. I love both of these guys. Like, Scott Lobdell is working strictly for DC now. And he's writing Red Hood and the Outlaws amongst a bunch of other characters. I believe he's going to start writing Nightwing soon, which I'm looking forward to. And he's the artist is Andy Kubert, and I just love his art. Anyways, I'm going to break down this story for you as best I could. The last time I read this title was literally probably read it like 3, maybe 4, maybe 5 times. And I was just so in love with, again, Andy Kubert's art, where I'm like, I just like looking at these fucking pictures. They're beautiful. Starts off with an inner monologue coming from Professor X. He says, "Scott Summers believes in me, in my dream. In our dream, more than once over the years, these convictions have nearly been the death of him. You see, he's an X-Man. The first. He and other like-minded mutants believe we have the responsibility to make the world a better place." That's inner monologue. As we see a beat-up, ragged Cyclops look like his clothes are shredded up, almost shackled and upside down from a tree. And you can tell he's just jacked up, and you can tell right away he's missing his visor. As the pages pan out, we see several of the X-Men sprawled around, also jacked up. We see Iceman kind of jacked up, or knocked out, kind of melting. We see Storm tattered up, ripped clothes, and beat up. The only one up, though, at the time. Then it goes into more dialogue about the rest of the team and how he trained them, Professor X trained them, to always be prepared. So now it looks like they're completely screwed. We get some inner monologue from Storm now, where she's telling herself, "I can feel where her rib's broken, my ankle's shot to shit, but I just can't remember how the fuck I got these injuries, or how I'm even here to begin with." So she finally comes across Cyclops now, where she uses her power to help lower him down to the ground, but warns him like, "Hey, dude, your visor, I don't know where the hell it's at. Don't open your fucking eyes, because you're going to obliterate me. Like, I'm dead. Instant death. Storm dead." But that's how powerful Cyclops is, too. Then we finally see Wolverine, now beat up as well, posted up, but checking his surroundings, trying to figure out what the hell is going on, or just trying to figure out some sort of answers. Where now he tells them that he wasn't even at the Xavier Institute when he was abducted, like the others were. They're like, all like, Scott was like, "I was in bed, like I was hanging out with Jean, and I disappeared. And we don't know anything from Iceman yet." And Storm says the same thing. She's like, I was at the Institute. And Wolverine's like, yeah, I wasn't even there. How the fuck are we here? And how the fuck are we this beat up? Like, we got put to the fucking ringer. Josiah thinks he can do 3 fucking podcasts. That crazy motherfucker. That's how I feel. Type of deal. So it's just really cool now. So now we finally see Storm checks up on the knocked out and melting Iceman and freaks out as she notices his chest is shattered. He's in his ice form, yes, but his chest is shattered. Then it jumps now from these scenes now to the mansion where we see Professor X about to get teleported out by Gateway. He's an old character. He's an old friend of the X-Men, but he never talks. And not because he's mute. He just doesn't talk. He's like a shaman for the most part. Well, again, old school character. But as he's about to do so, Bishop and Jean show up, and Jean takes him out, thinking that he was the threat. Right when Charles was going to say, like, no, he's going to teleport us, like, we kind of have to trust him, like, cool, send us to where you need to. And that's when Jean kind of fucks up. Nobody knows, but it looks like it is an attack because he just appears in his room. So now it jumps back to the first crew as we see Bobby not freaking out, though. Well, actually, he is freaking out, completely freaking out. Sorry about that. Freaking out as Cyclops is trying to keep him calm. He's like, Scott, what the fuck? I have a hole in my fucking chest. He's like, dude, you're fine. And Cyclops' inner monologue is like, holy shit, I got to be calm for this guy. I don't know what to do. He's like, dude, Bobby, you're good, man. Just take a breather. You're good. And it's for good reason. Like, Bobby, Drake, Iceman is thinking to himself. And he even says it. He's like, Scott, what's going to happen to me when I revert back? And that's the fucked up aspect of it. So yeah, even not knowing that how powerful Iceman has gotten is just dope to see. But at the time, it's like, oh, fuck, I don't want you to revert back. Like, I don't want you to die type of deal. That's I'm fucking, 15, 16 years old. I'm just so attached to these characters. Then we get some pages now of Wolverine and Storm where Wolverine finally puts it together. He can't sense anything is alive, so he starts attacking in Storm's direction, which freaks her out. Then we get some dope pages of the teamwork from them. So he's like, you know, don't worry. I knew something was off. You knew I'd never attack you. I'm not that guy anymore. And it's real cool because he's able to disable the character that's after them, and his name is Post. And Post is created, or was created, by Onslaught at the time. I'll go into Onslaught probably some other time, but he's pretty much a mixed version of as powerful as Professor X. It's his personality, it's his power set, but with the mentality of Magneto. That's pretty much what he is. He's powerful, and it takes a bunch of Avengers, it takes a bunch of the Marvel Universe to stop him eventually. So now they are able to disable his cloaking because of this as Wolverine attacks. And Post is kind of able to shut them down real quick. But at this time, we see Iceman and Cyclops arrive. Wolverine's like, he's testing us. Cyclops is like, perfect. Onslaught is like, this is an odd response, as he still goes back and kind of is just kind of cloaked again. And Wolverine's like, perfect, we're screwed. And Cyclops is like, think about the hours in the danger room, about the fact that we've trained for this, for battling opponents without discernible faces, without motives. And as this conversation goes off, we see Wolverine get upset about just his speeches in general and Cyclops' plans. Like, they just don't like each other. Then we see Wolverine kind of grab a hold of Scott, only to get blasted. And it's sick because they make the most of the situation now. So Post is like ready, like, in attack mode. He's like, ooh, this is interesting. They're going stir crazy. And it's really cool because they made it look, and they're just too, this team, like X-Men in general, I always love to see the teamwork aspect. And they literally made it look like, okay, fuck you over and get off me. And then each of the other two taking sides, like, don't talk to him like that. And then Iceman backing up Cyclops, like, Storm, back the fuck off. Like, we're the original X-Men. And Cyclops is talking shit on Wolverine and Storm. He's like, you guys are throwaway fucking members anyways. We're the original. Like, it's fucked up. But then you get, like, okay, right there. And that's their game plan. They attack use all their power to their max in one large mass. So, hoping that's where he's at. And they're able to figure it out. Like, the teamwork Even though Wolverine had to get blasted, that's what he's willing to do to make it look like, okay, cool, we're against each other. To throw Homeboy off guard. Post is his name again. So he's able to use their powers back at them, blast Bobby, and Bobby's fucked up already. Iceman's fucked up. And he kind of blasts him with a fire blast. And he's taking them out little by little now again. And that's really cool because he kind of knocks each of them out and he has Wolverine now. And Cyclops, still visorless. He's like, the two of you have always fascinated me. Cyclops, the stalwart, the blind, the obedient. Wolverine, the savage, the undisciplined, the untamable. Two sides of the same coin, really. Night to each other's day. How interesting would it be if I forced you to kill each other now? I know everything there is to know about you, about the X-Men. I know how to push you to your limits and beyond. And I think this is one of the biggest things that I remember about this comic back then is as he's doing this, he's like squeezing Cyclops. He's like, I'm pretty sure if I put enough tension or pressure on you, you're going to open your eyes eventually and you're going to blast Wolverine anyways. And it's cool because Wolverine's response as they're both getting fucked up. And again, it stuck with me. He's like, you got the wrong guys, bub. We don't got limits. And that's kind of what it is to be an X-Man. And I guess a hero, I guess, or just a person not willing to give up, even in the face of adversity. And the teamwork aspect of it is dope. And they're able to each have their own moments where work together still as a team, doing their teamwork thing and doing what they can, backing each other up, like Iceman freezes the ground. And he's like, oh, that was very smart of you. And Bob is thinking to himself, like, fuck me. I'm out of fucking juice. Like, I'm fucked. And then Storm coming to help him out. And Cyclops and Wolverine working together now that they're freed. And Wolverine telling Cyclops, like, I can get us in close enough. Once I fucking do work, I need you to fucking just fucking rip into him. And that's what they do. So Storm throws him off balance. He's iced up to the ground already. Wolverine gets in. Granted, with his bone claws at the time, because Magneto had ripped his adamantium out of him, he's able to still get in, ripping deep enough into him, where Cyclops just gives him a huge fucking blast. And it's dope. And that's kind of where it ends. And I ruined everything for you. This came out in the 90s, and in mid-90s, and it was something that just stuck with me again. Like, I always felt like that guy, like, yeah, it hurts, yeah, it sucks, no give up. Must move, must continue, must go on. So RG told me the same thing, kind of in a weird essence. And when I dropped him off after the concert, him and his wife, it's like, what are you going to do on your days off? I'm like, well, I got to work on this, this, and that. And I'm going to put this up tomorrow. Told him the game plan. He's like, dude, so even on your days off, he's like, you go to work. He's like, I'm like, yeah, you know that already, though. It's fun and I love doing it and it's cool and it's keeping me creative and it's helping out guys. Like but it's like, I'm creating something and you guys are liking it. Like Comic Syndicate is growing again. Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes is fucking just becoming its own beautiful fucking thing. And it's going to grow and go away soon from the Comic Syndicate. It's going to be a little bit of a bummer, but, that's going to happen. I have this next one coming up and might take place of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, and it's not going to be a weekly thing, but it's going to be a thing. Like, I'm going to find interesting people to interview, pick their brains, and I want just to hear a story. Give me something you're passionate about, and I'm down to pick your brain and chat with you. And it's not about me. It's getting your story and getting it out there. So, all right, guys, that's all I got for this week. So please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. I'm at For the Villain on Twitter. I'm at comic_syndicate on Instagram. You guys have been nothing but awesome. And again, the feedback for everything, yeah, I wish I could hit more of you guys up on, but it's just a lot of work. And apparently I'm still doing work. Please let me know, though, how you guys feel about getting me in you 3 times a week. Are you filled up with just 1 Josias a week? Or are you cool with, 2 Josiases a week is more than enough and tossing an RG? Or, I need extra more of Josias. Like, I need to quench my thirst of Josias. Like, Yeah, the third podcast. And let me know what you think about that. And again, more than anything on that one in particular, reach out to them and let them know, like, I heard you on the Comic Syndicate. Give them some love in any way you guys can, some support. And yeah, subscribe to the podcast. Support me by sharing the podcast more than anything. You guys are dope, rad, and I'll get back to you guys next week. All right, guys. Thanks again. Peace out.